Hello and welcome to Cultivate to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Gunn. I'm a self-actualization and mindset coach at Cultivate and Thrive, and I am on a mission to help Christian professional moms thrive in their reclaimed value while they cultivate a fulfilling and purposeful life. Now, many times on these episodes, you will just hear me sharing some tips and some things, some knowledge to help you improve and move forward. Sometimes I'll have special guests that have something great to share, especially things that I want to share with you to help you in your journey of life. Now, you can find this podcast, whether it's live or on replay, here on my own Michelle Gunn LinkedIn page, Facebook page, Instagram, and TikTok. You can also find my business page, Cultivate and Thrive, on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and my website, michellegunn.com. That's right. My website is Michelle Gunn, one L, two N's, michellegunn.com. I invite you to participate in the comment section. I invite you to reach out to me via email, DM. You can find contact information on my website. Let's chat. Hello, welcome everyone, and I want to give a warm welcome to some people who are already checking in. Reagan from Uganda, thank you and welcome back. So happy you're here. Also, Marlene, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for coming, ladies. Yes, and Reagan says, good morning everyone here and good evening to all from Africa. I love the fact that we can reach people worldwide and we can connect and get to know people and really build relationships worldwide. It's a great world we live in. I do want to share my Bible reading from this morning. Again, before I do these lives, I call unto God and the Holy Spirit to please wash over me and to guide me, my mind, my heart, my mouth, and my ears, and my soul, for things people may need to hear today. And the scripture that I opened to after praying that was Maccabees chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. I'm not going to read it to you, so if you want to look it up, it's Maccabees chapter 4, 1 through 25. And it talks about a battle that was won by Judas, basically rallying the troops because heaven, God, is on their side. Don't even think twice about it. We are in a battle. We are in a battle every day. There is a war to be won. Our battles are our distractions, are our negative mindset, our people telling us we're no good. Our battle is trying to get infinite tasks done in a limited amount of time. And a lot of them are just time fillers and wasters. But this world is so full of distraction. We must make sure we keep our eyes, our heart, and our mind where it's supposed to be so that we can win. Okay, Reagan. Yes, we all have these issues. Technology is great until it doesn't work. I've had that problem. I was looking at a memory on Facebook when I was a guest on another live, and I had to my beloved cat in my room who just knocked over my laptop and went tumbling down. And that was not technology. That was my beautiful cat. So Kiki was in here for a bit, but now like all cats are kicked out. But life happens. So if you do have to leave for any reason, do know it is available on replay. You can watch this again on LinkedIn. You can watch it again on Facebook. It stays on YouTube, the Cultivate and Thrive YouTube page forever. And the audio episode will be uploaded to my Cultivate to Thrive audio podcast, which you can find on your favorite podcast station. So thank you everyone for coming. And please, anyone who joins, do drop in who you are and where you're from. Do know that I do have limitations with my technology. Like it says, there's zero people here, and I know there's at least two. So one of my dear friends screenshot for me last week to show me how many people had attended, because I don't see that. I also don't see if I comment on LinkedIn, it doesn't show up for me. But if I comment here, it shows up on Facebook and YouTube. So technology, it's great, but it's got its limitations, right? So let's jump into today's episode, Flourishing in Faith and Power, the Journey of Women Balancing Work, Family, and Faith. I'm going to say this is an age-old issue, because before women worked outside of the home, they definitely worked on the home, in the home, around the home, right? On the farms and the gardens, besides raising families. That's full time to take care of your family, full time. You don't get a day off. I always told my husband, because I was the main caregiver, when my kids were small, I was blessed that he worked and I stayed home. But whenever I was sick, I didn't really get a day off, right? Because kids, usually, if they don't feel good, they want mom. Now, some things have changed nowadays, and it's nice to see a lot of dads playing a more active role. What's really sad is when you see parents of any gender not being active in their family or in their child's life. Good morning, Ronald from Maryland. Welcome back. I love when he comes. He always shares such wisdom with us, and he's such a faith-filled man. Absolutely, Reagan. Yes, I'm always understanding. We are human. We make mistakes, and technology is far from perfect, just like us. Absolutely. I love to see Ronald's greeting people. Let's be friendly, be neighborly, and network in the comments as well. Let's get to know each other. So again, welcome to everyone who's come, whether you're watching live or replay. And if you do watch the replay, I'd love for you to drop a hashtag replay in the comments so I know how many people I reach. Do you have it all? Do you think you can have it all? Is it a possibility? Do you really want to have it all? Those to me are some very powerful questions. Because the one thing we need to first do is define, what does have it all mean? I believe that definition is different for every human being on earth. For me, having it all would be having a successful business where I can make a difference in people's life and create enough financial stability that I can live a life that I want, to meet my needs, to meet my family's needs, and to be generous to others, as well as being able to be there for family and friends when they need me, without the feeling of guilt in any other area of life. And the same, to be able to be all in with my passion and my purpose, without the guilt of not being there for family and friends. It's really a fine line, and it looks different to other people. Oh, Reagan, that's so sweet. She's grateful for my kind words of encouragement that I gave last week about her emotional girl. Guess what? Now she's improving. Awesome. And I am sure with your love and kindness, Reagan, she's going to keep flourishing. And do, honestly, I really would love to keep updated about her progress. Kids are amazing. They feel everything, but a lot of times they don't share. And this it's kind of on a side note, but it's really not, because as I've always said, we're not one facet of a person. We're a whole person. There's many parts to us. There's not a professional and a personal. Everything is intertwined. But when my kids were young, we took in a little boy temporarily, and he was very much acting out. He was in the custody of his grandparents, who were very, very senior and had their own health issues. And he stayed with us for a summer. And he was very difficult in the beginning, but we made sure he had clear boundaries and expectations. And We were involved in his life. We were involved in his schoolwork. In any other activities that he had, we were involved. I think that, now I know that us being present, letting him know we care enough to provide boundaries for him and that we were involved in everything in his life, gave him the security to really be who he was meant to be and flourish within his boundaries. And he did not end up staying with us long term. He went back and stayed with another family that he had been with before and is now an amazing adult. So any love and guidance that we can give to children helps shape their future and makes them more secure in who they are. So again, can we have it all? When we talk about women in power, we look at different things. And actually, this really goes just across the board for all genders. People in power, it looks the same. Although we still have skewed views of what women in power are, right? So we see women who are running companies or running nonprofits or have these high-pressure jobs. And many times when they have to be firm, they're called not very nice words, okay? I don't like to swear, but so I'm not going to say the words, but I think we all know if they're impassionate about something or something touches them, they're called emotional. Derogatory comments are made about what their body may be going through at the time. Listen, I know as a woman, we do have moods, we do have hormones, but so do men. But women are so stereotyped in it. Of course, men are kind of stereotyped the other way. Like they don't have feelings or emotions. But that's another episode for another day. So women have to be careful of how they portray themselves because of how it's received by others. So when they're in power, if they're too caring, they're called soft. If they have to get hard and force something, then they're called, you know, the not nice word that rhymes with ditch, right? So it's really, really hard to be your true self when you're being stereotype judged, put down, and told that a man can do it better all the time. Then there's roles when women are in power, or maybe not high power, and they're chosen because of their emotionality. Well, it needs a softer touch. So then the woman, you know, becomes fearful of actually being more firm when she needs to be more firm in a situation, right? And then there's the whole family aspect. And I know it still happens today. And it happens to women by women, to women by men. Well, we don't want her in that role because she has a family and she's going to need to take time off. Or, heaven forbid, she's in childbearing years and she might take a leave of absence. And then we can't depend on her at all. But the reality is, if we really understand and appreciate women and really all people for their whole self, then our jobs, our careers, our roles aren't tainted by that. Yes, she may take time off to have a baby, but guess what? So do men now, and it's a beautiful thing. And when we allow that, our families become stronger. And when our employee is at work, they can be more focused at work because they're not so worried about what is going on at home. So these are some things where power, women in power, it plays a role on who they are and how they're seen. Now I'm going to take a sidebar because Reagan needs some attention on the comment she's providing. Many times we can only talk to people, especially when there's time difference at these specific times. I want to make sure people are heard. So Reagan says, though she keeps on asking me whether her mom will come back, unfortunately, I found her on Kampala streets and I can't tell where her mom went. But I keep telling her soon her mom will be back to make sure that I put a smile on her face. It's wonderful that you offer her the support. I think when it comes to that, I mean, if you know the mom, if the mom needs help to be able to get herself back together, if that's something you can initiate or point her in the direction, and who knows, the mom may not be ready for help. People, if they're not ready to accept help, they're not going to take it. Doesn't matter what you do, throw at them, give to them. It doesn't matter if they're not ready. But the most important thing is to be there for that little girl and to let her know that even if her mom never comes back, she is important. She is needed. She is loved. And she has strengths that no one else has. No matter what our situations are in life, there is the base us, right? When something bad comes at you, you have choices of how you deal with it. Circumstances cannot always be avoided, but how we react to the circumstances is what changes the outcome. Now, if you lose your home and you're still strong and steadfast and have a positive impact or a positive mindset, it doesn't stop you from losing your home, but what it does is it changes how you move forward. It changes how you appreciate things. It changes how you show gratitude. And that's another thing the little girl needs to learn. It's hard when you are in a rough spot, but to be grateful for the people around us who are loving us, who are encouraging us, to be grateful when we have a roof over our head, even if it's not the roof that we want, to be grateful that we have food on the table. It may not be expensive food somebody else has, or it may be, but just being grateful for what we have helps changes the outcome of our future. So back to women in power. When we talk about the concept of power, there are many different ways to look at power, right? There is, when you're talking about in companies, there's decision-making power, there's money spending power, there's budget cutting, you have control over jobs depending on where you are in the company. There's many layers to power in your professional life, right? And that power will often give you other avenues. So depending on if that power gives you special benefits, like if there's a company plane that you can use or a company vacation house, or maybe from networking people, that you get other benefits from that. There's also power that you have in your family. Don't dismiss the power you have in your family to make a difference. The difference you make in your own family can affect the world forever, forever, because you and your child will make a difference. It oftentimes has a ripple effect that we don't see. And sometimes we just don't see the fruits of our labor in our time, right? Sometimes the seeds take a long time to grow, but know that every decision you make, every kind of power you have makes a difference to someone somewhere. And we look at in history how women have come through. So what I think I read it on Facebook or something is like the 50th anniversary of women being able to sign, I don't know if it's for a credit card or a line of credit loan or something, without getting a man's signature. Really? Women. It's been 50 years that women are finally seen as individuals in a financial way. 50 years. Okay, I'm older than that. So that just blows my mind. But women have grown a lot in the world. They have achieved a lot. There's a lot more to achieve. There's definitely inequality in women in their roles at home, at work, in social organizations, there's still inequities, but they're changing. They're changing. And that means they change for men as well. More things are opening up for them. Some men will like it, some won't like it. Just like women, same thing. And when we look at women, we know that they juggle, right? They juggle. There's almost every family is a two-income family nowadays. Almost every family, if they're lucky enough to have two incomes. Now, there are still some that have a stay-at-home parent, whether it be the man or the woman. There are some that can do that. And there are some that are well enough off with one or two incomes and they hire nannies to take care of the household and the children. So that looks different. But no matter what you look at, women are juggling. They're juggling work. They're juggling family. They're juggling faith. They're juggling their social commitments. There's so much going on. And like I said in the beginning, distractions. There are so many distractions to take you away from what you should be doing, what you could be doing. Then there are also the stereotypes, right, that the women face in all of these spheres. So women should make less money because men need to support the family. Well, that's no longer the case. When you look still at committee meetings and there's only one woman present, guess who takes the meeting minutes? Even if they're recorded, guess who types them up? A lot of the men think it's the women's job. Still, it's 2024, people. Everybody knows how to type. In religion, a lot of times women are set to the side to do supporting lesser roles. They can't take a lead role in their faith. Well, they can, but maybe not in that church role. But many times women are kind of the head of the family. Although according to the Bible, the man is supposed to be the head of the family and the head of faith. Many times it's the woman bearing that. She leads that. She gets the man to church. She gets him to build up his prayer life. She brings her kids up in the faith. And again, in family, how many times have you heard, and I've said it, wait till your father gets home. First of all, no parent should be the parent that is used as a threat. And like I said, I did it. I was not as wise then. However, no parent should be used as a threat. But women still are often responsible for the meals, for the cleaning, for the laundry, for the kids, for the school. Now, I've seen more and more where it's, I'm going to use the term co-parented, but I mean, if there's two parents, it should be co-parenting, right? Where more both parties are more involved in the child's upbringing and in their education. So that's wonderful. But when we look at the many different roles, women do face a lot of challenges, right? Because we have to be all at everything we do because everyone expects our best. Now, that goes back to the question, can it be? Is it possible? Do you want it to be? Well, I go back to, if you're really living your purpose, your calling, then you definitely want to do that. And that can be developed into a paid role so that you are living a purposeful life and it's fulfilling. And you are still able to be there for what else is also equally important, your faith in your family. I want to give you a couple examples of some women who have successfully navigated work, family, and faith. One is Angela Merkel. She served as the Chancellor of Germany for 16 years. She was one of the most powerful politicians in the world. She had one of the most powerful political positions in the world. She was also a wife. and a mother of two sons. Now, I always joke and say God only gave me one boy because he knew I couldn't handle two. So God bless her. Merkel is known for her strong work ethic, leadership skills, and commitment to her family and personal values. Personal values in a political role. Go figure. She was also very strong in her Protestant faith. She has often spoke about the importance of balancing her professional and purposeful life, or excuse me, personal life. So I encourage you to look her up, Angela Merkel, M-E-R-K-E-L. And another one, the former CEO of PepsiCo, Indra Nooyi. I'm not sure I'm saying her last name right. It's N-O-O-Y-I. She's an Indian-born American business executive who exemplifies leadership in her profession. She prioritizes her family and is actively involved in her community. She has spoken about how her faith has guided her in balancing these aspects of her life. She used faith as a foundation, as I often talk about. It's hard to balance. Again, you need to define what balance is to you. When you are working because you need money to pay for bills or to put food on the table, most likely you're not living your purpose, at least not in that area. So we need to get by. But when you have a strong foundation and you utilize faith, you know it's for a bigger purpose. So I want to give you some tips with time management techniques and setting boundaries and priorities and cultivating a support network to help you achieve balance in your life. And again, discern what works well for you because we're all unique individuals. Some things work better for others. And some things will work better for you. Find what works for you. So for time management techniques, you need to have a plan. Make lists. Prioritize what needs to be done. Use short bursts of work if you need to, right? Do 25 minutes of work and then do something relaxing. You know, whether it be pray, read the Bible, do some more work. Again, these are going to depend on what you're doing and what that looks like for you. Use technology when you can. One of the best things that I ever did to help me keep my family organized, especially when I started working full time, was an electronic calendar. So I started out with a family calendar and then we moved to Google because it was just more friendly for everybody to add their stuff. As my kids got older, they added their work schedules. We added school events. At a glance, anyone can see what anyone was doing or where we needed to be. God, that was helpful. That's helpful in planning. You know, the best times to do stuff. And when you're setting these time management techniques and these lists and plans and schedules, it's important to set boundaries and remember to have those priorities because those will help you to set boundaries. Know when to say no. If it's something that anyone can do, let someone else do it. Delegate. For me, I had a hard time delegating because I had this thing strength in me called responsibility, and I want to see to it that it's done. But we help develop others by delegating to them, by letting them take on more responsibility, right? That helps our kids to give them responsibility. They learn to be responsible. They learn they have things to do before they can do just what they want. So delegating is a great way to help you set the boundaries and to say no to others. And to realize where your gifts and talents are, if something's not in line, then say so. You know what? I would love to help you, but I feel I would not be able to do it to the extent it needs to be done. Maybe you can offer another solution of someone else who has a better fit for that task. Make sure you're setting realistic goals. Don't set goals that's going to have you squandering, squirming, frustrated, figuring out how to get it done at the last minute. No, set goals that you know you can accomplish. In fact, I've talked before that you need to have a really, really, really large dream goal, and that's for you and your life. It can include professional and personal. But in every aspect of your life, you should have some kind of a goal. And the best goals are always written down. Some people have a hard time with that. Me. But it's worth it, because when you see it in writing, it keeps it fresh up here. You have those goals written where you can see it every day and make a point to see it. And then when you set goals, have a realistic plan to accomplish them. Sometimes if the goal seems big, or sometimes even with small goals, it helps to work backwards. Okay, so imagine yourself at this goal and what it looks like. What did I have to do to get there? And you kind of work backwards so you can build in the steps, because sometimes it's hard to see where you're at to how to get to the goal. So if you work backwards from the goal, it's a lot easier to see the steps that you need to accomplish that. Cultivating a support network. Like here, I see you guys networking and talking to each other and supporting each other. It's wonderful. Social media is wonderful for that. If you are true to yourself and unique, not just saying what other people say, but really being your honest and true self, you can build those relationships and create a support network. I have done it with people I've never met before. We absolutely know we're there for each other. Some of the people I've been able to meet in person since. I'm also building support networks in person. Your first support network should be in your home, right? The people that surround you the closest should be able to support you, and you them. Wherever you're spending the majority time of your day, whether it be at home or whether it be a job, a career, volunteer work, you should be able to build a support network there. Don't be afraid to let people know where you have a weakness or need skills to build. We're all human. Nobody's perfect. Nobody knows it all. When you are vulnerable to others, it lets them know it's safe for them to be vulnerable to you, and that helps build trust. Look into your community organizations, into your community. Where can you build a network there? Do you have neighbors that have get-togethers? Do you have nonprofit organizations you can volunteer at? Do you have prayer groups that you can get involved in? There's other ministries. There's just a variety of ways where you can cultivate a support network. And I recommend to not just have one support network. Have a variety of networks in different areas of your life. Sometimes in marriages, well, who am I kidding? I think in every marriage, you know, we all go through difficult periods of time and we need support, outside support. Sometimes we are human and don't talk nicely about our spouse. We have to know that if we have a confidant who we're going to share our raw feelings with, that they understand where it's coming from, that your loved one, your significant other, is not a bad person. You guys are going through a difficult time and you're being emotional, because you don't want someone who you just get feelings out to start having a bad picture of someone you love. That's not support. And if that's happening, you may need to think about maybe what you're saying about your loved one and how you truly feel. Because then the problem is probably with you and how you're viewing your relationship. Anyhow, I can go off on a lot of tangents, because really everything's intertwined, right? So utilize these strategies for balancing your work, family, and faith. But again, know what balance means to you. Sometimes a balanced life is more like this at one point, and then again later, it's like this. It's hardly ever like this. Somebody else used a term that I loved, and I don't remember what it is besides balance. But really, life is seldom like this. Throughout life, there'll be many challenges, both personally, professionally. Lord knows we have challenges in our faith every day, right? So we really need to acknowledge these obstacles that get in our way when we're pursuing our goals while managing our competing responsibilities. Because no matter what goes on in one area of our life, there's always something else pulling us for attention. Right? Again, family, spouse, household obligations, work, boss, new people. There's chatter at work. There's schedules are changing at school. Your child's having problems in school. There's just so many things that are pulling and tugging for our responsibilities that are causing challenges and throwing chaos into our life. Yes. I want to share Marlene's comment here with everyone. She agrees that we need people that keep us accountable. She has a friend that recently asked her to help her, and she doesn't feel bad even when she's in her situation. She can help and support her to the best that she could be. Absolutely. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful friend. And Marlene, the fact is that you both will grow together in that relationship. You'll grow a stronger bond, but you'll each grow separately as people, because as you're helping keep her accountable, you're seeing some things in you, and she may see some things in you that you may not see as readily. So that is an awesome, awesome undertaking. I applaud that very much. We must definitely, as women and people in general, make sure that we are resilient and use determination in what we want to accomplish. Our resilience and determination will help determine if we can overcome these challenges. And again, like Marlene showed, if you're having extreme difficulties, reach out to someone for help. Asking for help is not a weakness. It's actually a sign of strength. Most people are afraid to ask for help. So when you do, it shows how strong you are. And not only that, it shows the faith and trust you have in the other person, that they can be there to help you and that you admire their abilities to be able to help you. So be determined, be faith-filled, and reach out for help. So in that, I really do encourage mentorship. Be a mentor for another woman, whether it be at work, whether it be personally. My youngest daughter, most of you know, her baby is 7 months, and he is starting to get on the move, and her husband will be leaving soon for the military. So she'll be a young mom. I should know off the top of my head. They're going to be celebrating 2-year anniversary. And so she's newly married. And when he gets out of the military, we don't know where they're going to go, which can happen in a lot of different areas in life. But one piece of advice I did give her was reach out to the people around you. So when she goes into military, there you can usually get strong family bonds and other military families. So I've encouraged her to do that. She sometimes likes to keep to herself. So I've encouraged her to do that. And especially her being a young mom, if she gets to know some moms of varying ages where kids are different ages, she'll have other people with wisdom who can mentor her in mommyhood and whatever else. And in the military life, that's stressful. So when you're looking for mentors, you can look for mentors personally and professionally, right? Someone who's been where you want to go and who's doing well in it, that can help guide you and offer support and encouragement, that's a mentor, right? I don't know why I have such a hard time with this word, advocacy. Be an advocate for women. Encourage women. Stand up for their rights. Stand up. When you are wrong, stand up for it. Not only do you deserve better, but so does every woman who comes after you. Encourage policy changes to promote gender equality. If you see something that seems unfair or slighted, speak up. Gather other people to support you, and not just women. Gather men, because I know men can see it as well, especially men who have women who are strong. They want to make sure they're treated well. So let's stand up. Let's be mentors. Let's be advocates. And let's encourage policy changes to make things more equitable for women and to help make women more successful in the roles that they juggle every day. Remember that it's extremely important to celebrate wins, celebrate other women. So many times in all of our life, we're told what's wrong, what needs to change, what we can do better, and how we failed. It's so important to be a cheerleader. Tell her what she did well. Tell her why she's needed. Show her you're thinking of her. Celebrate her. Celebrate the accomplishments. Celebrate yourself. You don't have to wait for somebody else to tell you you did a good job. You can recognize it. You can reward yourself. Again, some people like to shop. Some people reward with experiences. There's different ways. Heck, you know, I tell you to write your word of the year or affirmations on the mirror. Write your celebration on the mirror. I did it. I accomplished blah, you know, and write it on there so you can see it. Draw balloons, confetti. So buy yourself a card, some flowers. Maybe there's something else you wanted, a special treat, a special dinner. Share it with a loved one. Take your husband out. We're celebrating because I accomplished this. Do it. When you have women in power above you in the hierarchy, let them know that you admire what they're doing. Let them know what you admire, not just that you admire, but what specifically you admire. Let them know the role model they are. Let them know the changes they're implementing that makes the world a better place. Always, always support each other. I encourage that. Remember, the most important thing is that you need to define what having it all means to you. Don't use the definition that the world or somebody else who you think you're in competition with uses. What does having it all mean to you? And what does that look like? Spend time imagining it. What does it look like? Think about how you get there and how you can use your innate talents and strengths to do it. That's the challenge I have for you today. And I would love it if any of you would like to share in the comments, or you can send it to me via DM or email, cultivateandthrive@gmail.com. Share what balance looks like for you. I would love to know. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate you. I appreciate those who have watched the live, those who've watched the replay. I encourage you to subscribe to my podcast. It lives on Podbean, Cultivate to Thrive podcast, but you can find it on your favorite podcast platform and my YouTube channel, Cultivate and Thrive. Go there, like, subscribe. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Please send me comments, questions, if there's anything you want to hear about in the future. One announcement I'd like to make is that I've decided, because of some of the feedback I got, I'm going to dedicate June to men. Every live will deal with men, and my content will deal with men. I already have one special guest lined up. Can't wait to announce it. Thank you. See you all next week. Go out and cultivate to thrive.